Now, Gary, you want to reach for us? Thank you. I did. Even before I said yes, I said thank you. I knew what the answer would be. Okay, so... Let's stop for a second. So there are two Gemaras you need to be aware of here. Right? The Torah says you're not allowed to move Mochen Shetama Behen Derech Mikra. He's already tipped his hand a little bit how to deal with the two Gemaras. So one Gemara, Rav Ada Barava asked Abaye, what's the story with Mochen Shetama Behen? And Abaye said that just because the person doesn't have a kupa of Tevin, just because he doesn't have a box of straw, he's not mafkir his kupa of mochen. So mochen are some types of some material that's used for, Rashi says, used for making felt and things like that. So Abai says to him, just because you did hatmana in these mochen doesn't mean that they're not mukta. The fact that you chose to use them for this doesn't mean it's not mukta. Why? Because he's not mafkir his kupa shel mochen. On the other hand, you have a Gemara later. The Mishnah says that Tomnim Begisei Tzemer or Metaltalin Osan, so of a Metaltalin Osan, excuse me. So Rava came along and said that that if you were Tomein Begisei Tzemer, so they are not considered Mukta. Why? Because you chose to use them for that Shabbos. That's the reason why. So the Gemara, of course, immediately, the newbie, the guy who was in the base of Medrash the first day, challenged and said, hey, but one second, the Mishnah says, Toman Begizei Tzemer Ve'e Metaltin L'Son, which Rava understood to mean, Toman Begizei Tzemer, at least the way the Gemara initially reads it, Toman Begizei Tzemer, generally, that you're allowed to do, but if you didn't do Hatmana in them, generally speaking, E'e Metaltin L'Son, Gizei Tzemer Amukta. So the Barbe Rav said, what do you mean? But the Mishnah says, Ketzad, No Tilas Akisui, you know, Ve'emis Naras Me'elayim. So you see that the Mishnah says that the Gizei Tzemer, which you're doing Hatmana in currently, are in fact Mukta. So the Gemara gave two answers to solve the problem. Answer number one was to modify Rava's statement and to say, that's what they call the Lishna Basra of Rava, when the Beis Yosef refers to it. The Lishna Basra of Rava is that, no, in other words, that the Mishnah's then only applies when lo yichtan lahatmana. But yichtan lahatmana, if you're miyached them for Hatmana, what does miyached them for Hatmana have to mean? No, that can't be. Why not? He's doing that anyway. You have to do Hatmana Mibod Yom. Hatmana cannot be done on Shabbos.
I asked
the question to you. So it has to be Yichud Olam or Yichud beyond the Shabbos, certainly. Okay.
What if I know for a fact on Sunday and I will use these Gizei Tzemer for something else?
So then,
is that considered Le'olam?
What?
Is that considered Le'olam?
No, if you know when.
I am Yachad these for all Shabbos and forever, for Le'olam.
Yeah.
But I know in my head also on Sunday I'm going to use it for something else.
No, what does that mean?
That doesn't work?
No. No.
Well, I'm saying with the Levain.
If you changed your mind on Sunday, that would be a different story. You can't. What does it mean to think, I'm going to use them forever, but I'm not? Okay. So. And then that was one teretz. Then the other teretz is Ravina says no, that the Mishnah is talking about Gizei Heftek, special Gizei Tzemer. I mean, Gizei Tzemer that will put away for sale, and they're in the Otsar, and they're intended for sale, and you have no intention normally of using them. And Rebbe was talking about Stam Gizei, which you didn't put in the Heftek. So the question is, what is the relationship between Rava and Abaye? Right? Rava, who says, especially Rava for the Lishna Kama, who says that Loshanu Loshal Tama Bemal, Tama Behen Metaltan Osan. So, how does that fit with Abaye, who says that by Mochenim Tama Behen E Metaltan Osan? So, of course, one option would be to say that they argue, but none of the Rishonim opt for that particular approach. Why not? Josh?
I had a question.
No, answer my question.
Easy ways out of it.
What? Well, the yes and no. In other words, For the riff, they do argue.
What is the question?
Why does nobody want to say that Rav and Abaye are arguing? No. But the point, there's something external that's pushing them.
Are they trying to explain Ravina?
Why does nobody want to accept Ravina's opinion and say, if interpreting Rava, which would then lead to the end, leave it as such with Rava arguing with Abaye. No. Because the maskan of the sugya earlier, Gilad, you're a little onto it, but not exactly. It's clear we're going to pass like Abaye, because the sugya, it seems, not definitely, but likely, because the sugya there stands unchallenged. So now you have a later sugya which doesn't bring an Abaye. So if you adopt the Lishna Basa of Rava, then there's no problem. You could say that Rava's Lishna Kama argues on Abaye. But since there are problems with Rava's Lishna Kama anyway, we're going to reject it. Because if you were to accept Rava as Lishna Kama, what would you have to do? You'd have to reject Abaye, because the halacha is always going to be like Rava against Abaye. So that's why you have one of two choices for the Rishonim. Three approaches taken by the Rishonim is to reinterpret what Rava meant, or to explain why there's no machlokas between Rava, Lishna Kama, and Abaye. And therefore you could theoretically paskin like both. And the option of the Rif is to reject the Lishna Kama of Rava, to pass that Lishna Basa Rava. And of course, according to Lishna Basa Rava, it's not a problem. Because they obviously it's Ola B'konech al Abaye. Abaye said if you were Taman Bahem, no good. And that Rava would say the same thing by Gizei Tzemer as he would by Mochin. But Rava was saying, that would work perfectly. But for all the other Rishonim, if you want to accept, if you want to accept Rava's Lishna Kama, you're going to have to explain why Rava and Abaye are not arguing. Okay. Now, there were three approaches that were taken to this, to deal with the problem. What were the three approaches? There were three.
There
yes.
The second version of Rava.
No, I'm not. That's the rift. Three approaches within the Lishna Kama, Rava, why it doesn't argue.
Mochen are different from
all right, so one is to say that Mochen are much more valuable than Gizei Tzemer. So the default option by Mochen is that they're still Muksa, even if you use them for the for Shabbos. Whereas Gizei Tzemer are not so valuable, and therefore, it's enough, simply in Tam Avahen, that would be sufficient. That was option number one. Option... Now that happens to be that you'll read it when I let you read, when I get you, let you get more than one sentence in. That's the approach that the Torah takes. Okay, it's the approach, it seems to be Rashi's approach as well. But there are, however, different approaches. That's also the Rashi's approach. So the Ran quotes a suggestion. I thought there were three, Gilad, unless I'm suffering from early memory loss here.
You're talking about the Beit Yosef, right?
Yes.
Only two.
Maybe there are only two and I'm counting the Rif as a third.
Because he puts...
Wait, 1 second. Mochen? No, there are three. Okay, what's option number two? Mati?
So for this Shabbos, it's forbidden.
Okay, so that's the one I find most interesting. And it actually conceptually is very nice. I actually like that. I like that interpretation generally, which says, oh... No, in other words, if you don't do Yichud, of course for this Shabbos it's not Muktzah. Of course it's not Muktzah, because you set it aside, you designate, you did more than designate, you used it for Atmana for the Shabbos, so for this Shabbos it's not Muktzah. But once Sunday comes next Friday, and you didn't use it for Atmana again, and they're sitting around, the answer is it's Muktzah.
So Abaye would be
Modeh? Abaye would be Modeh that for this Shabbos it would be okay.
It even fits nicely
into what Abaye says. Because Abaye's response to Rav Adar Rav is, because this guy doesn't have a kupa shel tevin, he's omer mafkir his mochen, a kupa shel mochen. But he is. You see him doing it. You see him taking the mochen and doing atman on it.
The
mice is mochiach, that he was mafkir.
Yeah.
So the answer is that no, Abaye was saying, just because he used it this Shabbos, so he could use it for this. But the bottom line is, he doesn't want to do, that's not what he wants his mochen to be. There's mochen of much more value to him than doing something else, like being sold.
The
nafka mina would be is that if it comes along next Shabbos, this Shabbos, the mochen will mutter to mitzki around it to move whatever you want. But if you weren't matmin again next Friday, and they're sitting around on Shabbos, it's a muktzah. No, not for hatmana. To move. When Rava said, think about it, when Rava read the Mishnah on wherever it was, Mem Tess or something, the Tom de Begizei Tzemer, for Emetalton some, he was reading Tom de Begizei Tzemer, and then, but if you weren't Tom in the hand, Stam, from a Dinamuksa, Emetalton some. You can't move Gizei Tzemer, they're in your way, you can't move them. So I actually think that approach, I thought it was the Ran's suggestion. Was it?
Yeah.
Right. I think that's a very, very appealing suggestion, just from a conceptual perspective. Right. In other words, of course the Hatmana works for that Shabbos. But if you want miyached, it comes next Shabbos, and you don't want matman, and you want to use it, you want to move it, so that's moksa mamish. That's what I thought that was very nice. The third approach is mechanical, yeah? No. No, is that the mochen that Abai is talking about is mochen shel haftek.
Okay. He says kisei semer. He says it's...
In other words, according to Ravina, there's a distinction between gizin shel haftek and gizin shel she'enet shel haftek, and Rava was talking about the gizin shel einet shel haftek, the Mishnah was talking about gizei haftek, and Abai was talking about mochen shel haftek, not about mochen she'enet shel haftek. So Abai's mochen were the ones that were muksin la'otzar, because really you weren't normally using them for anything else, and Rava's was talking about the gizin which were not shel haftek. That's a very mechanical, you know, solution to the problem. Yes, Josh?
So, if we're allowed to use Gizin Semer, we're allowed to touch it, and it's not Mukta, whatever the case that may be.
Yeah.
The question was asked during Seder, so what does that mean? Like, why? How is it able to be moved? Is it a Kli?
If you have something which ordinarily by default falls into the category of Eitzim Avana Va'Afra, the Muksa Mechamas Gufo, but it becomes used for. It is. So, well, I would say. Well. Well, and let me say differently. If you're talking about Rava, right? In other words, and once you're taman bahem, so now it has a use.
Right.
Now it's hatamana gizim. Hatamana gizim you can use.
So what is that? So that in the afar, what does that mean? It has like a shem kli. I mean, afar is not a kli.
I don't want to use it a shem kli. In other words, when you take a malokupa shalafar, and if you're doing daf yomi, so you did it yesterday, I think it was. We did it in Daf Nun Aleph, and it appears in Beitz as well. If a person can be machnes malokupa shalafar l'toch beiso, as long as he's miyached those avos, and you're allowed to use it.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, that the offer is a kli? No, yeah. The offer doesn't have Torah's kli, it just means it's not muks anymore.
Right.
The reason why normally kelim are not muks is because kelim are almost mukhan by definition. They have a function and a purpose. They're not stam stuff that's just sitting around.
So they're asur, and I make them into a purpose for that Shabbos.
So these are awesome, but once Eitzim Avana V'Afra by default are just junk.
Right.
They're not, you know, or if they're miyuchad for building, that's also, but they're not stuff I use.
Okay.
And now I decide that I designate it for household use, for cleaning up spills or whatever else. So now that's called muchan. It's not that it's Torah's kli, it's just muchan.
Would you be ready to say, not the Eben for a gozi, but would you be ready to say that the Eben for a purpose that I have is a kli or not a kli?
It's kind of in between. It's hard to tell.
Like, I don't get it.
Why don't we say that when you have a particular purpose for it, it becomes a kli?
You could say that with an Evan partially because it has resemblance to a kli in terms of shape. I don't think you can say that with Afar. Right, you pick the Afar up, and as you watch it, you know, if it's very, it's got to be Afar Tichach. Let's say it's sand-like. You know, as you see it way between your hands, right, that's Torah's kli
of. Well, it has a halachic status of kli.
That's why I asked.
That is actually my foot. Excuse me.
Okay. You've said that before. You've used that metaphysical change.
Not when it's contradicted by the physical reality.
No.
Okay. So anyway, so now read the Torah. So those are the different approach, and then there's a fourth approach. The Rif is the Paskin, like the Lishna Basra of Rava, namely that Rava's talking about if you miyached them. So then, of course, there's no contradiction between him and Abaye. Okay. Go ahead.
Elmanah Kisu Behem Noklo. Yon Chimukton Shimitsasan Mgula Shaim Z Tiltum Ella Mitsado.
Now the truth be told, the tourist position is not entirely clear here. This sounds like Rashi Shita, and I mentioned this before, I'll mention it one more time. I still don't understand Rashi Shita. I understand a little more, but I'm left with Tosus's question, which is, why is it that you need miktsaso megula in order to be able to shake the stuff off the pot, the lid of the pot? Is it because, just in Metzias, if it's covered in gizeh, it's covered in mochen, there is no way to shake the mochen off the lid of the pot without first moving the mochen with your hands? That is a possibility. So that would be just fine, But Rashi says that if the miksasa, if part of the pot is, if no part of the pot is a megula, so then Rashi says it's usher to move. It's usher to move. Why? Because the lid, well, he says because it's a basas the davar usher. So just one point of clarification that has become, we spoke about this when we did, I don't know, Simon Shin Yur or something. One comment I wanted to clarify, which is that when Rashi says it's a basas, he's talking about a scenario not in which you had a pot and its lid, and you stuck muksa stuff like mochen on top of the lid. That even Rashi says is not called a basas ledavar ha'asar. Why? Because the mochen are being mishamish the lid. The lid is not being there to hold up the mochen.
And also
now, the problem is Rashi talks about a case in which you used actually the material, something which is not nito, muksa mamish, to be the cover of the pot. And there Rashi seems to think that the lid of the pot is the pot becomes a basis to the lid. Which is interesting, because one could ask the very same question. Is the pot there to hold up the lid, or is the lid there just to protect the pot? Okay, but that's... If you put... Rashi says... Rashi assumes that if you have a pot with its lid, they're both the kalim, and you put a muksa material to cover the lid to insulate it. So Rashi says that lid is not a basis to davar asa.
Yeah.
But if the cover of the pot itself is a davar muksa, I mean you have a pot, you don't have a regular lid for it, and you stick a board of wood on top of it. So that's where Rashi says that the pot becomes a basis to davar asa to the lid, to the haphazard lid. The problem with Rashi is that Rashi says that if the pot is a miksasa megula, meaning the lid doesn't cover the entire pot, then you can pick up the pot and shake off the lid. But if the pot is entirely covered, then Rashi says that's not called the basas ledavra. Then that's called the basas ledavra aser. What? That's what Tosa says. Tosa just asks him, Rashi doesn't explain. He says, what's the difference between miksasa megula and not miksasa megula? Either way, the pot is a basas ledavra aser.
Well, and the mishdamish, maybe? It's not mishdamish, the pot, if it's not fully covered.
So, you know, I had no idea what the answer is. I still have no idea what the answer is, but as I'm articulating it to you, and the Beis Yosef doesn't explain. He thinks he's Sal Rashi. He doesn't say a word about it. He doesn't answer Tosas Kasha. Not the Beis Yosef here. The Beis Yosef later, and then Shinyur or Shinyuraf, wherever it was. So the answer could be, but this is a very, very big chiddush, and I think it's wrong, but I'll say it anyway, just because... Is maybe you say that if it doesn't cover the thing entirely, then it's not called a basis anymore. It's got to cover it completely. The even shall be a chavis. You have to assume in order for the chavis to be a basis of davar asher is the even covers the chavis completely. I know, Gilad, I don't think it's correct either. But you have something else to say for Rashi.
There must have been error. It can't be right.
Shemin shabin.
The shalhevet doesn't cover all of the...
So the difference might be is that that's darka b'kach, but a lid of a pot is not darka b'kach. To serve as the pot to serve as a base for its lid, it's got to be a lid that covers the pot.
For official reasons, didn't we say that the kisui is part of the kedera?
Just leave it out of here.
Just
put the question aside. Unless you kvetch something like that for Rashi, that's where Rabbeinu Tam and Tosas just say, what's Rashi talking about? Right? I do understand the difference for Rashi between the notel sakisu ve'misnaris me'lehen, that's the Mishnah, versus the Bryce at the end of the parak about taman bedavar hanital v'kisa bedavar sheno nital. So if it's completely covered, it's hayim miktasa megula is okay, but if not, it's aser. So how does Rashi explain that? So Rashi wants to know, why can't you just pick up the pot and slip the let the pot lid fall off? So the answer for Rashi is because it's a basas ledavar aser. So that's what Tosfos says. So what's miktasa megula? Why does that help? How does Rabbeinu Tam explain that? I don't know if any of you caught that. How does Rabbeinu Tam explain why it should be mutter if it's miksasa megula? So firstly, it's not a basis. So what's the difference? It's not a basis. What's the difference whether it's miksasa megula or not miksasa megula? So Rabbeinu Tam says that it's a metzias question. Rabbeinu Tam says that you're talking about the kind of a pot where the lid sits recessed. So even if you tilt the pot, you're not going to get the lid off. But once the lid is already partially off, if you tilt the pot, then the lid will go flying off. And that's all you need. That's the way the Balei Tosfos explain it. And why is it not a busis according to the Balei Tosfos? This is review. It's review, but it's going to come to bite in Siman Reish Ayin Tes. It wasn't meant to be there all the Shabbos. You meant to remove it. That was the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Baruch, against Rashi, who say that if something is not meant to be there all of Shabbos, it's not called the basis of Davar Aser, and therefore you don't say Migud is Katzai Lebein HaShemash, this is Katzai L'Chulei Yomim. Okay. Fine. Read on base. Oh, what's that? We have to go to the Shulchan Aruch. Sorry.
I think I finished.
Oh, you know, I won't let you get a word in here. Go ahead, Okay. So this is the position of the Rush. And I think of Rashi that there's a difference between Mochen and Gizei Tzemer. That's the way you resolve Abai and Rabbah. Mochen are inherently more valuable. So Mochen require Yichud for Atmanat and Abi Moksa. Stam Gizen do not, unless they're Gizei Heftek. And if you Matmin with something that was, which was Enonito, then the solution to the problem is to pick up the lid by its handle, if that's exposed, and to shake it off. Josh?
How does something become a Basis Tadvar Aser if it's put on the Yom?
That's the only way you have a basis davar. Well,
no,
that's not correct.
We're miyached, though. No. Is this a case where we're not miyached?
The case where you're not miyached for the Torah. If you're not miyached them so that they remain mukta, the gizei tzemer, it's a basis davar. According to Rashi, it's a basis davar aser. Okay, let's take a look. Now you can look at the Shulchan Aruch. Go turn ahead to Reish Siman Reish and test for a moment. Go ahead.
Gepen with Telushe Zemer Rak Shabahima Vigrirak
Megadim Bluim. Anyone want to comment about these parentheses? Did this parentheses part of the Ramah or not? From the Magen Avraham, you can tell that it wasn't in his Ramah. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. The comments, what? So, the answer to that question is, I believe the Perushim are not from the Ramah, and the citations are not from the Ramah. But if you get a full-fledged comment, you know, commenting, arguing, that is from the Ramah.
In Dana Diyama, for Spirit of Omer, I think Ba Omer and La Omer is based on one of those ambiguous annotations in the Shulchan Aruch.
Okay.
Okay,
so if I recall, it's been a long time, and that's not why I was trying to look there in the last couple of days, but I hadn't checked this morning, but all of yesterday, the Hebrew University's digitized book repository was down. What I wanted to check on there had something to do with some other passage in the Shulchan Aruch. There are very early printed editions of the Shulchan Aruch online, and there's already one from the 1560s or 70s with the Ramah, so you can, which is probably got to be one of the first printings of the Ramah, so you can check actually what was in there at the time. I've done that before. I have something in Dina Haseba. I want to check something in the Shulchan Nusach of the Shulchan Aruch, but you could check that here to see. And I believe when I look, the citations the tzitutim are not there, if that's what you call them, or tziunim, are not there. And I believe these perushim are not either. But there are some passages that appear in parentheses which are in the Ramah.
So it doesn't have to say Haggah every time.
No. Well, normally when it says Haggah, it is the Ramah, and it's down in parentheses.
Yeah.
But these ones in parentheses, and I suspect the printers in this edition know that they're not part of the Ramah because they put it in block print, not in Rashi script. So that's probably the criteria that he is using. Okay. So anyway, that's what Mochen are. Anything soft? Go ahead. Cloth like and soft. Shatama Mem. Go ahead. Okay, so that's a gizim are different than milchim. Bahani mili.
Bahani mili stam gizim she'en omdim l'skora, aval im natnan. Not num, דהיינו לומר שנוטו לכיסוי הקדירה שיש תורה כלי עליה ואף על פי שהם עליה לא אכפת לן ולא נעשת בסיס להם.
Right. In other words, you're allowed to move it because the kisui is not a basis for the insulating materials. The Magen Avraham says the kisui is not tashmish la tzemer, adarabat tzemer mishamish la kedera lachamama. Or to preserve its home would probably be more technically accurate. Okay? And in this regard, if you had a, if the handle wasn't visible, if it's not magul at all, but you could stick a thing in there, a kush, and you could be menayer so that the stuff falls off, that would be okay as well. Okay. Fine. Go back to the tour days. Okay, so what does it mean here in Lagabe the stones? What do you have to do with them? You have to be miyached them. So the Beis Yosef points out that we already know there's a machlokes, it seems, the Rashba and the Ran. By an Evan Liftsoa Boagosim. The Ran says you don't need Yichud La'olam. The Rashba says you do need Yichud La'olam. Rashba says that if you have a rock that you sometimes use to crack your nuts, but you haven't made it your designated nutcracker, so the Rashba says that that's still Mukta, you can't use it on Shabbos. So here it sounds like that you want to put these avanim some of akidera. So it sounds like it's like the Rashba, but the Ran, but ultimately the Beis Yosef says he thinks the Ran would be moda here because this is not a normal usage for these rocks. Okay. So he quotes the Shiboleh Haleket, who maybe disagrees, maybe not. Okay, later, where does he talk about it? It's in the Sevav. Right, that was a different issue. Okay. But right now, we're assuming under ordinary circumstances to move it on Shabbos would be, if you weren't Miyachin, it would be us. Spence?
Just to clarify in my mind, so the similarity between the Mochin and the rocks in the situation is anything that's not usually, anything that you're using that it's not usually used for this purpose, we say just using it one time doesn't make it miyachid.
Correct. You need to do yichud. Whereas the gizei tzemer, I mean, the gizei tzemer, it's because it could be used for this and not really, you know, they're not designated for something else. Or, okay. Fine. And Beis, the Shulchan Aruch writes.
Hanotnim. Avanim Levinim Sabina Kadera Sorry She Yachtan Makah Lolam Shari Kozman Shalo Yachtan Inum Hashubin Lo Mashlichan Hilka Asil Tatlan Im Lo Yasnimim Miyah Vimyachtan Makah.
All right. Fine. Yimel
Atom Kupa Malaya Samir Asil Tatl, Baho Si Agreer Kozman Shalow Nitkalkala Aguma, Yachalak Zira, Vin Nitkalkala Loyak Zirana.
Okay, so there was a machlokas in the there's a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Loza ben Azari and the Chacham and whether or not you're allowed to remove a pot, the pot. Let's say you have a kupa, you have a box, in which you put the gizei, tzemer, whatever's mukta, and you put the pot in that. And the question is, are you allowed to remove the pot on Shabbos to take the food out and then put the pot back? So Rav Loza ben Azariah prohibited removing the pot with the intention of putting it back because he was afraid that the guma would collapse. And the Chachamim weren't afraid. The Chachamim just said that you can take it out. If the guma collapses, you can't put it back. So the tour continues. Fine, stop there. So I have a question for you guys. Why? What is the chashash? What are you going to do? No problem. It's just very. You're not going to put the pot back in there. So no point in putting it on top of gizei tzemer. You want whatever they are. You want them to surround the pot. That's why you make a guma normally. So I don't understand. What are you worried about? What, Gilad?
Is it
still doing a tzad?
Is it?
I think so.
That's how you're. I mean, how are you going to make space for the pot?
You're going to use the pot to sort of push things around.
What the coupon? What the coupon?
Josh, leave out the coupon. What, Daniel?
Are you going to use the pot to make space for the pot?
That's what I thought. That's what I would do.
That you were going to, clear it.
Okay, so the Rush says, the Chashash is that it's inevitable you're going to have to use your hands. It's not quoted in the Beis Yosef. I forget who quotes the Rush. It might be the Magen Avraham quotes it. The Machtes HaShekel quotes it. So that made sense to me, actually. That I understood. I mean, it's a little bit exerut the muksa, but it's inevitable. Because you can almost know what you do with the pot. You need your hand to sort of carve out the space and then stick the pot in. And yes, Gillen?
I asked last week whether poking something with a stick counts as tilting on the side. That's the same issue here.
Well, it's a little different than poking with a stick. What did I say about poking with a stick? Oh. So if it's not in the way you normally move stuff, then it is tilt on its side, I think.
Okay, well, this could be a raya that under these circumstances, it's not tilt on its side.
Well, this is, I don't know. So the Rush certainly doesn't think that way. And when you read the quote, the Rishonim that he cites, to Rashi says, Lavisha Mesis Agisha Lakan Lakan. He doesn't. No, if you even look in Rashi, it's like, it's not clear what exactly, why is this not Tiltum and Atzad? Hold on, let me. Where is this? I know where this is. And somebody came along and. He says, Lafisha Mason Hagizin Lakan Ulakan. Satosis asked the Kasha about Tiltum and Atzad. Satosis says, Hacha Adif Tami Tiltum and Atzad should Serach Lataltal Elef Ha'elach Kisharot Sin Lahatman. What does that mean?
It's not accidental.
I want to put the pot right here. The Gizei Tzemer are in the way. You want to say the Tosa is saying, but since you want the Gizei, it's not just that you want the pot there, you want the Gizei Tzemer, exactly.
The intention of moving the Mutsa.
And when you take a bed and you flip the mace over, it's also Tiltum and Atzad. Here it's Litzarech Davramutu, you want the pot in a certain place. You read Tosis, like Tosis, I've said something more. Could you explain, what exactly? Okay, I understand you get the kasha. Why is this not a regular Tiltum and Atzad? He says, even according to Elazar ben Tadoi, right, our famous Tiltum and Atzad guy. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. The Rush was bothered enough to say, the Chashash is going to take your hands and you're going to move it. That I get. The Rambam has a different Mahalach. What was the Rambam's Mahalach, according to the Beis Yosef? And I didn't go look further, yes?
New Hasbam.
It's a new Atmana. What's the problem? New Atmana is not a new Atmana. Being Matman in a new material on Shabbos is something that was already Mutman, we assume is Mutter. You can be Machlif and you can be Mosif. Tosos may be thought otherwise, but the way the Beis Yosef read the Rambam in a previous Siman, I don't remember exactly which Siman, it seemed that he assumed that for the Rambam you could be Machlev and Kabachom, you could be Mosef. But I think it's Beferish in the Rambam you could be Machlev. Note the Sininin Venosein Esaglupakara. Note the Saglupakara Venosein Esasdinim. You can even put a Duatmana in something that was warmer, a better preserver of heat than the previous substance. So what's the problem? What does it mean? It's also, if it's a movable substance, right? The Beis Yosef claims for the Rambam that in it doesn't even matter whether it's muks or not, whether the stuff is muks or not. You're still not allowed to put it in there because it's kedahavi kemat melechatchila. What's he talking about? That's mutar on Shabbos b'davar shein mosif hevel if it already was in a state of hatmana when it came in. You're allowed to use other materials. Where did he quote it earlier? Was it? It had to have been in Reish Nun Zion then, I think.
Is mostly from the stuff that's already on it, or would you take everything off and then put it back?
Right, he said, the Torah says, it's mutter, if you have, to take one pot out of the thing in which you were matmin in and put a different thing in there. That other thing, presumably... I take it back. No, tell me. Litan Achim Mekomo means you're allowed to put other Hatmana materials in there. It's a funny formulation in Torah. Even more so that Kasha. And what did the Rambam... What did he quote the Rambam? I remember the Rambam only says one. The Rambam says... So it's kind of funny. Maybe we misread the entire discussion of Hatmana there. I'm just looking back now. The Rambam says, Mutal is on page Mem Dalet. The Zelashon Rambam in Perek Dalet, Mutal hachlop ha-kisri b'Shabbos. Ketza, noto ksusa monea kanfayona. Noto kanfayona monea ha-ksus. V'kasav ha-rava magid lov shenemri d'rashrim. Fine. Roshim Amliel says, not only the hosef, but even lahachlof. So we just read that as you can do the entire Hatmana. But it sounds like the Rambam, if he based on his correct holds, that's only the kisri, that's nothing else. Right, that's not how we read. We didn't read Lahachlif being only on the Kisui, right? We read Lahachlif being on the entire Hatmana. But apparently maybe that's not 100% clear. Okay. So anyway, so that's how the Rambam would... That doesn't seem to be the Pshat in the Gemara, but that's how the Beis Yosef explains the Rambam. The reason why the Rambam... says that it sounds like Niskalkal Aguma would be also Lahachsir. Other Rambam says Beferush. He said in the Perashah Mishnayis that's considered Maisha Tomei B'Shabbos. The Rambam would probably say that you can switch the cover, but you can't switch the Gufa Hatmana. Even if you wanted to say that you could, the Rambam might say that you're not allowed to create a new Matmin. And here, you effectively, by reshaping the Guma, by reconstructing the Guma, that is called Tomei Mechadash. If you have a wrap, you know, you have some insulating material which you're not having to form or fashion anyway, just to wrap it around, so that might be mutter to switch from A to B on Shabbos, but not if you have to fashion the Guma. I presume the Rambam would say something like that. Okay. Finish the last line in the tour. Okay. So if you were Tomei Medavar Anitel, and you're Mechaseb Medavar Anitel, so of course you can take it out and you can put it back. Turn to the Shulchan Aruch for a moment. Imlo Tiskalkel. Okay, so that's the mainstream position. Now he quotes the Rambam's position. Shetitzarech hakedera lasos la'atzma makom kishmasira. Okay, so that's the Rambam's position. Okay, how do we paskin? What? Well, I'd be just telling you, it doesn't really matter because we don't do this anyway, so. How many of you have geese? How many, what? How many of you have geese etzema in your house? How many of you have mochen in your house?
Maybe mochen.
Shmata.
No, mochen is not a shmata.
If no, you read, I mean, it could be. I mean, like
mochen, a shmata is a kli. And you don't form a guma. You don't know that you wrap it around.
I don't know, like the stuff in the Yesod boxes.
Yeah.
Do you have that lying around the house still?
Yeah.
The same one for years.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you are thinking about insulating your mother's pots this Shabbos, and you want to use those mochen, you have to decide.
That's a
No. He's talking about the hair stuff,
what's
not
the...
What?
Is it
what?
Stuff.
Oh, wait, it's correct. It's meyuchad. He's right. It's meyuchad to hold the esrog, so you could use it for the pot too.
Cool.
So it's not moksa. Okay, but for the Rambam, it'd still be an issue. That would be exactly the case, though. That would be the case. If the Rambam, it doesn't have to be moksa. The Rambam would say it's asr anyway.
But is that only then being meyuchad to the esrog? Is that only applying to sukkahs?
No, as long as you leave it in there, it's a miyuchad for the esrog. Okay.
So what happens
Touche. Schlein.
Even if your etrog is no longer there, but it's still in the box.
It's still, that's its purpose. Unless you argue, it's garbage now. Whatever. Okay.
In general, we say that stam yishomer and we follow the stam.
What does the Chacham Vad Yosef say? You follow the first one, no?
The Rosh Hashanah even says that.
You follow the first one, yeah. That's what I would assume. Okay, so if you really need to, according, you should be able to use that. I would say it's a minority opinion. The Rambam is a minority opinion anyway in the Rishonim. You know, if I'm going to do a Beis Yosef move here. Rashi, Tosfos, Rush. Okay, there we go. Yes.
So what's the purpose of the Yishomer?
I don't know. Maybe if it's easy to be Machmer, you should be Machmer. B'shas Tachak, if you need to be Mako, maybe you can follow that. I don't know. It's hard to say. What's that?
There are always lots of opinions that are floated around in the Yosef.
Yeah, so most of them he's rejected, but here, probably because it's a Rambam, he doesn't want to totally toss it aside. And you don't have so many big names who weigh in on the issue, so maybe that's why. Okay, Dalid. You can take it out and then read hay with it because it goes with it. Okay. Now the question is on that one of Taman Bedavar Anito Vikisa Bedavar She'eno Nito, that's the Machlokas in effect Rashi and Tosfos, right? In other words, if what you would Taman Bedavar Anito, so in theory you can pull stuff on the side of the pot. Rashi says it doesn't help you because the lid of the pot was a bosses to the lid, and therefore you're not allowed to move the pot. You can pull the stuff away from around the pot, the stuff that's Nito, but you can't move the pot unless it was Mitzasa Megula. And Tosa says, no, of course you're allowed to move the pot, but it's the kind of lid where it's not going to help you because you're just not, because it's recessed, you're not going to be able to get it off by shaking it. It won't shake off the pot. So therefore, if the lid of the pot itself is not exposed where you can lift it off, then there's nothing you can do. All right, so we spoke about that Rashi, and I don't wish to belabor that. Read quickly in the Shulchan Aruch. This is pretty straightforward, and I think there's not much said here. Okay, and then Taman Mikisa
Bedavar She'eno Nito in Mitzvah HaGedera Megula Nota V'Machzir V'im Lav Eino Nota.
Right, and what did the Shulchan Aruch leave out? The Shulchan Aruch left out Taman Bedavar Hanital V'kisa b'davar she'eno nitel. The Magen Avraham here writes in Os Tes, he deals with that case. That was in brackets in the Torah. He quotes the Ran, who says that, in theory, you can clear around the pot, lift the whole pot out, shake the lid off.
Are the brackets just like a different manuscript that we have?
In the Torah, I don't know. I don't remember if it's clear from the Beis Yosef that he had such a thing or not, or somebody just thought it was a good idea to put it. Fine. All right, Vav. Was this an issue we discussed already? Let's say it's Yom Tov, which is Erev Shabbos, and you need rocks to be Machmen in. So they really, it should be Aser. But the Shiba Lekid quotes Rabbeinu Binyamin, who said it's Mutter. The issue was not a Muks issue. The issue was a Binyan Arai issue. And he said that it was Mutter because the Iser is only on Binyan Keva, not on Binyan Arai. But then he says, but the Chacham were gozer on Arayis. He says they weren't gozer here because of Kvod Shabbos, like they weren't gozer because of Kavod Abrios when it came to arranging the seats to sit on as a toilet. Okay, so we spoke about that. It's a little bit difficult. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Magen Avraham says, if you have any other choice, it's usher to do that. But okay, it's an odd din. Finally, Zion. Zion's the most interesting din here. Zion's kind of a funny din.
Before we
Could we quickly like summarize what the kalamar of the mirror like, you know,
Amir al-Akum. All right, so just a word on Amir al-Akum, but no more on that because, well, we won't get to Amir al-Akum probably, but never know. There's a big machlokas harishonim. There's a famous sheet of the Bala Itur, and the Bala Itur says that Amir al-Akum Mitzvah mitzvan Shabbos is motor even by Melachos d'Oraisa. I wish I had the citation of the Siman and Sif at my fingertips. I'll tell you where I think it is. I think it's in Siman. One of them is in Shimon Shin Zion. Give me one moment, see if I can find that for you. It's in a Ramah, so that should make it more findable. Ah, it's earlier. There you go. One second. Hold on. Yeah, one second. It's in Reish Ayin Vav. Reish Ayin Vav. I'll give you the two columns. You're going to want a Reish Ayin Vav. And Shulchan Aruch. Sif Beis. The Mechaber says, and the Ramah says, go straight to Ramah. Yeshomer the muta lomer la'akim lahadlik noner l'suda Shabbos mishum the sphere le the muta amir la'akim afila banacha gavura b'makom mitzvah. That's the Ran Sof Perek Reb Lezer demila b'shem ha'itor. Shal pize nagu rabin lahakel b'davar l'tzavas la'akim lahadlik neres l'tzorach suda b'frat b'suda chasuna omila v'ein mocha b'yadam v'yesh lahachmer b'makom she'ein tzorach gadol derov aposkim cholkom al sfarah zo. There, you get the more general klal of Amir la'akum, which is what we call shvus deshvus b'makom mitzvah. The Mechaber says, "Davar she'ena malacha, ve'ena also la'sosa b'shabbes, ela mishum shvus." I mean, anything that's the Rabbanan. Muta li'Yisrael lomer la'akum la'sosa b'shabbes, v'hu she'yir sham miktas choli, or yetzarach la'davar tzarach harbe. Omei mitzvah, ketzad, omei Yisrael la'akum b'shabbes, la'los be'ilan la'havi shofar l'skoa, the tkias mitzvah, forget how you have that on Shabbos, but o lahavi mayim derech chatzer shlo irvu luchotz ba mitzdar v'yesh osrin. That's I think the Tosfos in Gittin, but I think that's where it's coming from. Where does he say? Yes, that's on the Gemara of writing a shtar for mechir and eretz, for buying land from a guy in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos, writing the shtar, which is where the Gemara says you're allowed to do that, but that may be exceptional. The Ramah says, but this is a generally accepted psak the Mechaber here, which is that shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah is mutter. Shvus to shvus means amira la'akum honored the Rabbanon. It doesn't mean that you can do something that's only usher because two gzeiros the Rabbanon combined. To light an air. So that's why most of the Rishonim don't agree with the Bala Itur. Yeah. The Rama earlier does cite the Bala Itur, and it seems to have been the Menag B'Malkum Tzorach Gadol. My recollection was, as a child, and the Rav by Shul Gronk was fired very big Talmud Chacham, and if there was an issue with, I don't remember if we had the lights or the air conditioning, maybe both, so to use have a guy turn it on in the shul. That's Tzorach HaRabim.
It's also
the lights? Not so much. Even the air conditioning is pushing Mikzas Choli. We weren't talking about necessarily 102 degree weather where there's a danger of people passing out. I mean, it's just a little uncomfortable. Maybe that's okay for Shvus to Shvus. For the air conditioning, if it's only at the Rabbanon, if you assume like, you know, the Beis Yitzchak, Shlomo Zalman, to turn on the air conditioning only at the Rabbanon, yeah, even if it's just a little uncomfortable, so even in your house, maybe you could argue that. You know, shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. But the lights, you know, and even that, I don't think it's called makom holy. Sina might be holy.
It doesn't specifically say that everyone's a either heat or cold.
No, I think lagabi tzina, not lagabi lechan. Your check.
Oh, I had in one of my sermons says that some people extended to
lechan. Okay, so it depends how warm it is, you know. If it's 78 degrees in the house, or 80 degrees, it may be a little uncomfortable, but it's not, you know, it's not, it's different. If it's 90 degrees in the house, it's a different story. Okay, anyways. What?
You started the sentence.
So he, I think, I don't know if it was the air conditioner, I thought it was the lights. He, I think it was the lights he had the guy turn on. So the assumption was that Malcolm Tzorach Rabim, so I think he followed the Bala Yitur. I think the lights in that shul that I grew up in, they used to be, I don't know what they are now, I'm pretty sure those were halogen lights, actually. But they were kind of halogen that took a long time to warm up. But they were halogens, I believe. So if that were the case, that's a deraisa.
Did he pretend that he was doing it for himself?
What?
Did he pretend that he was doing it for himself?
For himself?
Yeah.
No. You know he's not doing it for himself.
What if he needs to clean? He needs to see what he's cleaning. Reasonable.
In the shul in the middle of davening, yes.
Yeah,
Josh?
I've seen it at a meal in Rosh Hashiva, say, go over to a neighbor when they're having a meal, let's say 10 bachurim or whoever. They say, our lights went out. And they turn on their own house.
So the question would
that's
be.
Not per se, but
well, you have to decide. And the question is whether you want to follow the Bala Yitur. It also depends what the nature of those lights are. Right? Because the nature, if those lights are. Well, the only thing is that we think the fluorescents are drabana. We think it's a malach shetzukufa. Not sure, because if it's not a malach shetzukufa, then you got a problem there as well. If it is, then it's shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. Okay, does that answer your question, Daniel? Is that a fair hakdama? It's a basic overview. I mean, there's probably more to be said, but that's sort of the core two shitos.
This is very difficult. This whole sim is very difficult to
understand. Okay. Right. Now, Amira La'akum, by the way, just one very important note, by the way. Amira La'akum doesn't mean, one of the areas I think we greatly restrict Amira La'akum is in terms of the preparation of food. Now, as it may very well be, that in situations of Shia and Chazara, if the guy does it, you're prompting, it's Asr anyway. It's not the Isra of doing the Chazara per se, but the food can't be eaten. So the fact that we allow Amira La'akum, you know, shvus to shvus naka mitzvah doesn't mean that you could have all sorts of kulos in terms of the guy preparing food. Okay, so if we read Zion, I want to read Zion very quickly in the Beis Yosef. Kosav trumas betrumas adeshen simen samachay. Dutanurim shalanu shemat minim behen acham in the Shabbos v'sospin p'yem bedaf. You took some board and you put it on top of the oven. V'sharkin osam batit. And you seal it with the mud around it. The listar osostima b'shabes kedei lahotzi acham and yerod the yesh lahater ayidei shinuksas, that you can be matir opening it and breaking the seal, either through a little bit of a shinui, that I understand. Olomar lekatan sheyistar, I don't understand. Ileka akum, and if there's no guy to do it, why is it mutter to ask a katan to do it? I have no idea. We hear of this frequently, but the katan's not doing it unless the argument is the katan also wants to eat, so the katan's doing it for himself too. What? Yeah, no, but you're not allowed to ask a katan to do malacha for a Jew. How do you know you're not allowed to ask a katan to do real malacha for a Jew? How do you know that? Thank you.
What was it?
It's a pasuk in the Torah. Lo sasecha malacha ata uvincha uvitecha. Bin chavitecha can't be bin chavitecha gedolim.
That would be
atah. That's atah. So asking your child to do a malacha for you, I think, has to be aser. The discussion in the Gemara is katan ochal nevelis based on mitzvah lafrisha. The katan wants to do it for himself, right? The same way behemtecha, there's you can't have a behemah do malacha for you. V'gercha shereshrecha. This is nisar miyur la'akum and a ger toshav and sisu daraisa. So I don't understand what's the adifus of a katan. If a katan, you might encourage a katan sometimes to do some kind of malacha for the katan's benefit, not for your benefit. No, I just don't understand it. I don't know. Maybe I don't know if some gemara somewhere. I don't recall anywhere. And I know this is a bold statement to make, but I did do Daf Yomi, and I think it would have struck me. I don't recall anywhere in Masechet Shabbos where the Gemara suggested, I'm sure I'm forgetting something, that a katan would be okay for the benefit of a gadol. The main sugya is in Yevamos, in Daf Yudalit, I think. You know, the sugya based in katan ocholmez, based in Mitzuvah Lafrisha or not. There's a story there about getting the katan to bring the keys through the Carmelis or something like that. So there was a derabah, so there at least there's a smach of something. They try, but again, there it seemed like they were just trying to get the katan to do it memela, not to ask the katan to do it for themselves. So he goes on to say, "Afilu legado ki yister ki orche nirudein kan chashash yister." What would the yister be?
Kibul your matir.
Well, right now we're not at that. We're not talking about cholim that are burning. That will come up afterwards. What's that, Gilad? Well, but except for it's not. It's breaking mana, and breaking mana is not a malacha. What? It's not really stira. These are not two parts of one kli that have been screwed together and you're unscrewing. So, l'chora, the closest thing, it's not clear what the malacha is, if there's no fire inside. So he says, v'afilum metanurim shididan shein mechubarim l'karka bebinyin, v'kachkas amordechai perichovis, v'afal gav damrinam beitza, bebeitza, chosama shebekarka matirim afkiya v'lochote, chanimili k'sha osir l'kiyim, amrash shalol l'sirim b'shabes, aval daf eino osir l'kiyim. So there is such an idea that you shouldn't cut the ropes, you should rather untie the knot. But that, the Mordechai says, is only something that was intended to be there long-term, beyond Shabbos and Yom Tov. But here, when the intention was to take it off on Shabbos, it's not Asur L'Kiyum, so there's no problem of breaking it. Okay, V'ayim Masha Kasav Nebisim and Shein Dal B'Shem Truma Sadeshen. V'ha'agur Kasav V'zeh L'Shono Heishem Ari Mulin Tanur Stam Sosum Ha'Mordechai Mati L'Sosum Perk Ba'atonim V'Sefer Aguda Osem Yishem Stira. There you go. It's a steer of some kind. V'ra'isi mora al yidei akum otinok b'de efshar. And I've seen that they paskin to do it al yidei goy or tinok when it's pasal. U'b'deleka kolhani afilo yidei yisrael. L'chumendum al yishakem reisi betosos v'lasor l'sosmo. If you want to go close it up again, obviously you can't use the mud. Why not? M'mareach. And maybe lush. Well, probably not lush, but m'mareach. But it means just to cover it over again. That you're going to cause it to flare up, or maybe it's you're going to extinguish it actually, because you're cutting off the oxygen supply. Don't know what.
It talks about both.
Israel, eno sosim al gamrei dilma havashari ad kan lishono. Okay. Doesn't really matter how good the insulation is.
Well, if you close it fully, we're worried about it going out now. Did you say that?
I don't know.
And then, so if that's the case, then why am I putting the dot there to insulate it? Because...
Well, I don't know. I don't know which it is. Let's assume maybe it's not clear.
Is the dot just saying, don't touch the Shabbos only? Or is it actually, I'm trying to insulate
it? Well, I suspect, by the way, that there is... some of the other cases they talk about, there may be there's room for oxygen to get in, so it's not going to mamish go out.
Right.
So I don't know if putting it back on causes it to get warmer, you know, hotter, flare up a little bit. What? I'm not sure.
There's little room that you put to have it go in there. That's for mafiach and that's for mavir. If there's a little bit in there, then it'll stoke the coals.
Could be. So anyway, let's take a look at the Shulchan Aruch for a moment. Go ahead.
Shorkin
or so betit.
Shorkin or so betit. Mutter listor hotel steam of Kadei Shuahotzi.
Kadei Lahotzi Achamin.
Velaxir, Zoma of the Mieshbo Gahalam Lokashot, Mutter Ayad Akum.
Okay. Now, so basically, if there are Gahalam Lokashos, you can do so Ayade Akum. Why? Why is that Mutter? So if it's a shein miskaven, then why a Jew should be able to do it? So malacha shein tzricha legufa. Let's say it's going to cause the thing to go out a little bit. Let's assume it's kibbutz for the moment. So you don't need that. So maybe that's why it would be mutter. And the Rama says,
"Yesh machnirin shalol listor stirat stimat aton ra'atof atof petit ayad yisrael im efshar lasot ayad akum v'chein im efshar lasot ayad." Yisrael katan lo yase Yisrael gadol. Ve'im yefshar yase gadol ayad shinui k'tzat
ve'hachinagi. A gadol should do ayidei shinui. Okay. Now the Rama continues, and this is the other point that I was making. He says,
"Kol the
sapeg.
The sapeg. Shema hakaderot adayin enon mevushalot kol tarkan also lustom adonar begorim.
Yeah, that's bishul. You remember the bishul commotion is boyer simration text to dal da filu.
Afilu ayad akum aser commotion idvar lahayos sof simin brechlin gimel v'shar dinim kahazara v'shabes ayin lahal.
Makama on simin shin yudchas. So the Ramah writes in Shuvah, the Magen Avraham quotes the Sifkat on Yud Beis that even b'di'evad the tavsha would be aser if you cooked it. And then he has a question, maybe with a guy, it might not be a problem because it was going to cook anyway. Okay. Fine. All right. Now, in a few minutes, I wanted to... any questions on this? Others, I wanted to start Reish Ayin tests. Unless the people want to do a few minutes of Pesach now rather than starting Reish Ayin tests?
Yeah.
Gilad, what do you say? Okay, so we do a few minutes on Pesach.